Now, this week, we're looking back at a spectacular few days in the night sky and ahead of what's coming next for stargazers. And I'm joined by David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. It's the only radio show in the entire country that does an astronomy slot. So, David Moore, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Eugene. And what a year it's been, but I believe we have one more show to go.
Lovely.
We'll wrap things up then.
We surely will. Now, David, before we look ahead, let's start with last week. Astronomy Ireland's Christmas public lecture was a huge success. What was it about this year's talk on smartphone astronomy photography that struck such a chord with people?
You know, I think it's the fact that people are beginning to realise they're carrying around a powerful astronomical camera in their pockets. And Katrina Musk, who's been taking photographs for decades, gave a brilliant talk all about how to do it well. And she had thousands of euros worth of fancy camera gear, you know, that professional photographers have. And she said at the lecture, she doesn't use it anymore. Her smartphone can do almost everything that she needs. And that just goes to show how great these camera phones have become. And they're revolutionizing astronomy. So, you know, you can record the aurora, and she showed beautiful results of that. The moon near planets, the Milky Way, star clusters, galaxies, anything you can see in the sky, and a whole bunch of stuff that you can't see, because the cameras can now take pictures of things that are too faint for the human eye to see. This is just a little lens on the camera phone that practically everybody listening has got in their pocket. So she explained how to do it, a few good tips to maximize your results. And we want to publish all of your photographs in Astronomy Ireland magazine. I mean, we've been publishing lots of smartphone pictures for several years now, but I think if everyone watches this lecture, we're going to be flooded with them, and the more the merrier.
Now, that is a really powerful statement from Katrina Musk, saying she's completely abandoned expensive camera gear in favor of her phone. What does that tell us about the changes and about how astronomy photography is changing, especially now? I know you've said some of it there, but just expand on that a little bit, because people with smartphones, the one thing they buy when they buy a smartphone is they buy it for the powerful of the camera, and they want really crisp shots with that camera. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and the people that program them, manufacturers, they have lots of smart things to do where they can, you know, do great things for parties, for low light level situations. And some of them now actually have an astronomy mode. Now, most of them would just have a manual mode or a pro mode where you can change the exposure times. But the smartphones are so smart, they can do all kinds of tricks, even enhancing the photographs for people pictures. But they can now do, some of them can now do this for astronomy. And even if you've got the old phone that can't do that, you can still take several second exposures. And that's the trick. Although the lens in your camera phone is probably smaller than the pupil of your eye, so it's not getting as much light as your eye is getting, we are like video cameras. We take several pictures every second. We don't build them up. But the camera can build them up for 10 seconds, sometimes even longer, 20 seconds or 30 seconds. So it leaves the human eye way behind. And that's what gives it the real power for astronomy. It's like to do a long exposure. Now, you have to do a few tricks. Like, you can't hold the camera steady for 10 seconds. You've got to either use a tripod or prop it up on something. Now, I once stuck a friend's camera phone on the roof of the car, and we got a fantastic picture of the Milky Way. So when you do little tricks like that, fiddle around with the exposure time, then, you know, the sky is not even the limit. You can go beyond what you can see in the sky with the naked eye. And I think everybody should be at least trying. There's always great things to see in the sky. The meteor shower we had over the weekend. And, you know, there's going to be another aurora. I've seen 12 of them so far this year. I'm sure we'll get at least that many next year. And they come out much better on your camera than they do with the naked eye, I have to say.
Now, David, I'm not strange. I don't think I am anyway. Now, I missed the lecture And I'm absolutely dying to see it. And I know I'm not the only one, because people with smartphones, there's something about that, being able to record what's going on in the skies. For anyone who missed it, including myself, how can they still get that recording now if they wanted to go back and look at that whole lecture?
Yes, you can indeed. You go to our website, astronomy.ie, or drop us an email. We can arrange to get the recording of the talk, because all the monthly talks, this was our December, our Christmas lecture, something special, but there are monthly talks going back. We normally keep them online for at least a year. I think we're going to keep this one online forever. So just go to astronomy.ie, you'll see the link there, or email us, and we'll make sure, you know, if you're thinking of sending in pictures to Astronomy Island magazine, this is a lecture. We've actually been looking for someone to give a lecture like this for a good few months, maybe a couple of years, in fact. And Katrina put together a very nice presentation. It's actually a very nice, simple talk, in that she talks about her whole life, where she lived around the world. It's a real travelogue of astronomy. And then focuses on smartphones to give you an idea. So it's a really nice story that you'll enjoy.
And backs it up with pictures taken with her smartphone, of course. Now, how long is that lecture? Just a matter of interest, David?
We had questions and answers at the end, so including all that, about an hour long. And there's a bit of an introduction at the start and a bit of what to see in the sky afterwards.
Yeah.
Total recording is about an hour and a half. Most of our meetings go on for about an hour and a half every month. In fact, the New Year lecture is coming up on January the 12th. That's all about exoplanets. We'll tell people more about that next week.
Okay, so it's very doable for anyone who wants to sit back and relax for an hour or more.
They're all aimed at the general public.
Yeah. Now, David, moving on to the skies themselves, we had the Gemini meteor shower last week. How did it play out here in Ireland, especially with the weather doing what it does best, as we know today?
Well, the international reports are incredible. People seeing 2 per minute, 120 an hour. That's 20 times more than expected. That was Saturday night when the shower peaked. Unfortunately for Ireland, we had very cloudy weather. I think I had rain non-stop that evening. But on last week's show, we did warn people, you know, it'll be 10 times as good as a normal night the night before Friday and the night after Sunday. And Sunday night was cloudy as well for most of the country, if not all the country. But Friday night was actually clear. So if you heeded our advice, which is don't put all your eggs in one basket and wait for the peak night, get all 3 nights if you can, because you'd be lucky if 1 in 3 nights is clear anyway. And Friday was clear from dusk until dawn. I got to see loads of Geminids that night, kicking myself we didn't get, you know, twice as good on the Saturday night. But that's the Irish weather for you. It was the best meteor shower of the last few years, and that it's the strongest, and there was no moon to brighten up the sky. But there'll be more next year. And as well as that, the number tonight will be about a quarter of what it was on Saturday night. So if it's clear tonight and good skies are forecast for tonight, you might still see several Geminids tonight. And if you go to our website, you'll see we want people to count how many they see every 15 minutes and email it to us. It's all on the website, astronomy.ie.
And despite fewer reports than expected, there were still some memorable moments. What stood out for you, David, from the Geminids this year?
Yeah, well, looking at the report that's going into the magazine, there were some people who got pictures of fireballs. They were running cameras all night long, and we've had a few photographs sent in from Ireland. I mean, I'm sure the internet's full of international reports all over the place, but the Irish ones are gold dust for us. Some people using their smartphone actually got pictures of the meteors. So, you know, if you didn't do it this time, there'll be another meteor shower in August, another one in December. But those fireballs are the one we live for. I actually missed the 2 big fireballs that happened just before dawn. The moon was up by 3 a.m. And that didn't spoil the view too much. But, you know, you had to stay out from dusk till dawn to get those 2 fireballs. And unfortunately, they came at dawn rather than dusk. But we got photographs of them from Ireland, and they're going into the next issue of the magazine.
Brilliant. Now, we had a rare and a beautiful event last Wednesday morning, Regulus disappearing behind the moon. Why was this such a special sight, and how lucky were we with the Irish weather for once?
Yeah, I had lovely clear skies for it on the Wednesday morning. Last Monday show, we warned everyone. You know, it was around 8 a.m. It went behind the moon about 10 past 7 and came out the other side at about 10 past 8. Now, who isn't up by 8 o'clock in the morning on a school night, week, school day? And so if you were watching with your pair of binoculars, you would see the moon, and then this little star popped out from behind the right-hand side, the dark side of the moon, exactly as we predicted. I even got a video of it myself, and it needs a bit of processing, but we hope to show that at our New Year lecture, and stills from it in the next magazine as well, on the New Year lecture on January the 12th. So people actually want to see the moon is sitting there, and then pop, out pops Regulus, the brightest star in Leo. It's quite rare for a bright star to be for the moon to pass in front of a bright star. There's only a few in its path that can actually cover. Regulus is one of them, and I haven't seen that happen in years, perhaps even decades. I can't remember how long ago it was. I've seen Aldebaran is another bright star, about the same brightness it can do. I've definitely seen that one pop out from behind the moon. And of course, one of the problems is Ireland is mostly cloudy. 3 out of 4 nights are cloudy. So if it's rare, we're only going to see it a quarter of the times from this country because of the weather. So have clear skies. I was absolutely delighted and really pleased with the video I got as well, which I can now share with other people if you were too busy at 8 o'clock last Wednesday morning.
Brilliant. Now, let's move to planets. For anyone stepping outside this week, now, I don't know what it's like in Dublin today, but I know in Kilkenny here it's just fog all day, even tonight. But for anyone stepping outside this week, what should they be looking for when it comes to Saturn and Jupiter?
Yeah, well, you see, if you're getting a telescope next week for Christmas, well, then you're in for a treat, because Saturn is at its highest around 7 o'clock, so a few hours before and a few hours after you'll get to see it. Doesn't set till midnight. So your first target is going to be the planet that normally has the rings, but of course the rings are near the edge onto us. So you'll see its main moon, Titan, and the rings will just be a very thin line, so it's a real Christmas treat for anyone getting a telescope. Jupiter is rising just as Saturn's at its highest, 7 o'clock, and then it's visible all night long till dawn. So that's a fantastic sight, because it's 10 times brighter than brightest stars in the sky. Saturn is about as bright as the brightest stars in the sky. So Jupiter really is an incredible sight. And in a telescope, you get to see its disk, its cloud belt, even its great red spot when it's on the side facing us. And its 4 main moons, you can see those even in binoculars. So a telescope shows them really easily, and they change their position every night. There's a nice link on our website that will show you exactly what the moons look like at any instant when you click on it. So those two are the big treats for Christmas. And you know, you see them all this week. You've already got a telescope. If you've just got the naked eye, you'll just see them as bright stars. And if you get a telescope next week, good for you. You'll be able to see them as disks.
Now, we know that Santa knows what he's doing when he's delivering a telescope for someone who has written a letter to him looking for a telescope. We know that Santa knows all those things. But for someone buying a telescope for their son or daughter or brother or sister, whatever it is, give us that advice again, David. We can't hear enough of it in relation to what people need to take into consideration when buying a telescope, and end the myths.
Yeah, just to link to the last item about Jupiter, we're actually running a Jupiter watch on January 21st next year, but it's also our annual Christmas telescope workshop. So some people get a telescope, and some people can't even assemble them out of the box properly, or don't know which end to look in, because there are different types. And if you're having any problems, you can bring it along there, and we'll help you on the night, because we want people to use their telescopes. So the advice for getting one is, at least get a pair of binoculars. They'll cost you 30 quid, get you a good pair of 10 by 50 millimeter binoculars these days. And if you're progressing up to a telescope, you'll get one on a stand that's even more powerful than binoculars for about the 100 quid mark. And if you've got 500 euros to spend, you can get one of the biggest, most powerful telescopes in the country. And there's some advice about that, depending on your budget, from 30 quid for binoculars up to 500 for the big one, on our website, astronomy.ie. And if you get really stuck, you're looking around, you can't decide which one to get, you can actually email us the links to the ones you're thinking of. We'll give you some advice. And we have a few members who will actually ring you up and talk you through the process. That's how determined we are to make sure people get the right telescopes for Christmas. And the link to a big telescope dealer in Europe that we recommend, who will ship telescopes to you, excellent quality, terrific customer care service. That's one of the things we picked to make sure they were a good company. And they give us a small commission, so it won't cost you a penny more, but you'll be helping Astronomy Ireland to help you as well. So it's all on astronomy.ie for this Christmas. If you're thinking about telescope, how do you rate them? Not magnification, it's diameter. The wider the telescope is, the more light it collects, the better view you'll get. You can change the magnification on any good telescope, so magnification is irrelevant to you. Just use for faint objects, low magnification, for bright planets and the moon, high magnification.
Now, say a person gets a telescope and they manage to get it up and running. Just a little, just very briefly now, what should they try to observe first, David?
Well, one thing I should say, of course, is make sure you also get the magazine, Astronomy Ireland magazine, because we designed that to match what you see with the naked eye, but also binoculars, and then you'll also always get a closer view with a telescope. So, you know, how do you know it was a naked eye comet in October? Did you see that? No, you should be getting the magazine. It told you all about where to find it. There's going to be a big eclipse next August. 90-something percent of the moon, the sun will be covered by the moon. That'll all be in the magazine, and loads of other things as well. So, depends on the size telescope what you're actually going to see. But one thing we like to do is predict when the moon is going to be near the planets, because planets just look like stars to the beginner. And if you see the star to the upper left of the moon, it says in the magazine, that's Saturn, then you know which one to aim your telescope at. Okay. And if you get really stuck, you can always come back to the club and ask for more advice. We run about a dozen watches around the year. We bring your telescope. Well, come along, look through our telescopes. One way or another, we're determined to make sure everybody gets to see the universe up close in okay. either their own telescope or one of ours.
And we finally, we've 30 seconds, a slightly quirky one. Winter officially begins this Sunday, but not everyone seems to agree. When does winter really start, and why is this such an important point for you? 30 seconds, David.
Well, the seasons are determined by the Earth's axis tilting over, and that's an astronomical event. And around the rest of the world, it's always been the start of winter when the winter solstice happens, which is this Sunday at 3:03 p.m. So we're still in autumn today. But Met Air and certain broadcasters have been trying to teach people it's the 1st of November or the 1st of December. They're totally wrong. Look around the internet what all the other 8 billion people on the planet okay. believe. We've been talking to them, but they won't change their mind.
Okay. David Moore, thank you indeed. Editor of Astronomy Ireland, thank you as always for guiding us through the skies. And I'll talk to you on our last show of 2025 next Monday. Until then, take care, David, and thank you. Now, that brings us... absolutely. That brings us to